Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's wonderful to see so many people here. Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. To rise in body or in spirit for a call to worship. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Open the gates of justice and righteousness, that we may give thanks to God.
Today we enter the gates of the Holy One as the body of Christ.
We are called to do justice and love kindness.
Today is the day of celebration and promise.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. And let us pray.
God of mystery, God of wonder and love, God of resurrection and new life, last night we wept because we thought you were dead. This morning, like Mary in the garden, we mistake you for someone else and ask where you've gone. But you have wakened us with sunshine, opening our eyes to daffodils and cherry blossoms, filling our ears with bird song, filling our hearts with joy. For you are not dead, but risen, and live among us now. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.
Oh, Happy Easter.
Good morning. Scripture reading is from John 20, 1 through 18. On Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran to Simon Peter and Jesus' favorite disciple and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We do not know where you've put him." Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. They ran side by side, and to the other disciple ran faster than Peter and got there first. He bent over and saw the strips of linen cloth laying inside the tomb, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter got there, he went into the tomb and saw the strips of cloth. He also saw the piece of cloth that had been used to cover Jesus' face. It was rolled up in a place by itself. The disciples who got there first went in the tomb, and when he saw it, he believed. At that time, Peter and the other disciples did not know the scriptures said Jesus would rise to life. So the two of them went back to the other disciples. Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She was still weeping. When she stooped down, she saw two angels inside. They were dressed in white and were sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head, the other was at the foot. The angels asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken away my Lord's body. I don't know where they have put him." As soon as Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken his body away, please tell me so I can go and get him." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." The Arabic word Rabboni means teacher. Jesus told her, "Don't hold on to me. I have not yet gone to the Father. But tell my disciples that I am going to the one who is my Father and my God, as well as your Father and your God." Mary Magdalene then went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She also told them what he had said to her.
Throne of the skies, oh,
Friends, will you pray with me one more time, please? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, friends, this sermon this morning is the very last one in this sermon series that I put together based on this book I've been reading throughout Lent called Questions God Asks Us by Trevor Hudson. So the question that I picked for this week isn't specifically the one that Hudson sets aside for Easter Sunday, but I like this one better. This question, what are you looking for, is the question that Hudson picks when he finishes his look at the Old Testament and then he begins his look at the New Testament, because this is the very first question that we ever hear Jesus ask. The first time that we ever see Jesus ask this question, what are you looking for, happens at the beginning of the Gospel according to John. Jesus is talking to two men, and these two men eventually become two of his disciples. These two men take notice of Jesus and decide to have a conversation with him and start asking him some questions. At this point in the narrative, it's way at the beginning of the gospel. These two people are complete strangers to Jesus. They had never seen or talked to him before. And yet, Jesus really catches these two men off guard by asking this deep and surprisingly personal question. What are you looking for? Catches you off guard because we ask that question of each other sometimes and we don't mean it to be anything really deep or provocative. Oh, are you lost? Can I help you find something? What are you looking for? But we get a sense from the way that these two disciples reacted to it that the way that Jesus asked this question, it was more like, what are you looking for? And the two disciples catch that. So they trip over their words for a minute before sputtering out that they want to see where Jesus lives. And then Jesus shows them, and the story keeps unfolding from there. By this point, this morning on Easter Sunday, here we are 19 chapters later. So we are now at the end of John's gospel. Yet this same question comes back up again, this time between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. What are you looking for? So in 19 chapters, this question didn't go anywhere. This question, what are you looking for, stuck to the hearts of Jesus' disciples the whole time that they followed him in ministry. And it's one that Jesus continues to ask us, not just once, but over and over. What are we looking for? It's perhaps the most fundamental of all of the questions that God will ever ask us. What are we looking for? And are we finding it in God? God really wants to hear the answer to this question, which is part of what makes this question so deep and so challenging. Because if you imagine God asking you this question, it pushes you out of a comfort zone kind of relationship with God, and it challenges your understanding of him. Because without imagining God asking you this question, then you can imagine that God is your creator. God created the whole world. He loves you in sort of a once-a-year Christmas card kind of way, a detached kind of way. And maybe God is involved in the big things, but God isn't super, super close. You can't maintain that understanding of God, that more comfortable, more detached, more distanced relationship with God. You can't maintain that once you imagine God asking you this. What are you looking for? It takes God from being out here somewhere to being here. And that's the whole idea. And then when we're thinking about this question and what kind of an answer we're going to provide for God, we have to think about how deep we're really willing to go to provide an answer to this question. What are you looking for? Because most of the things that we might come up with in answer to this question are things that we really don't want to tell anyone, let alone God. So if you ask me this question today, Natalie, what are you looking for? And I want to keep it friendly but superficial. I might say at the top level, oh, some chocolate would be nice. Do you have any? If I want to take that a level deeper, I might say, well, if you can find 8 hours on uninterrupted sleep that nobody wants, I'll take it. And then you might say, well, Natalie, you say that to everybody. What are you really looking for? I might say, aw, nothing, I'm good, I already got everything I need. Come on, Natalie, what are you looking for? A way to make a difference in this world. I'm looking for a way to alleviate the suffering of my neighbor. And then you might say, well, that's very Christian of you, Reverend, but lots of people are looking for that. What's something that only you are looking for? And then I might say, I'm looking for a way to help my parents thrive in their senior years. I'm looking for a way to help my son thrive and be the best kind of kid he can be. I'm looking for a way to make my daughter a good and supportive sister. I'm looking for a way to be a more loving and supportive life partner to Sean. And then beyond that, I don't think we know each other well enough to go deeper than that, sorry. But me and Jesus do. And Jesus and Mary Magdalene sure do. They trusted each other so deeply that we have the good news that we celebrate this morning, Jesus' life. So when we find Mary Magdalene in this morning's story, she's very distraught. She's grieving. She came to this tomb because all she wanted after suffering the incredible trauma of seeing the one she loved more than anything die the horrible death that he did on Friday, all she wanted was to give him the proper anointing and care of his body and burial that he deserved. Then she comes to this tomb and discovers Jesus isn't even in there. Her head isn't quite in the right place yet, but her heart is, without any question at all. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus performed some kind of a healing miracle on Mary Magdalene, and that's how she came to start following him and the disciples in the first place. Loyally, she stuck by their sides ever since, even though there wasn't a whole lot in it for her, because she's considered at best a secondary character throughout the gospel narrative. She's not considered one of the 12 apostles, and she couldn't be. We've read a lot into this text over the centuries, questioning what kind of a woman of possibly lesser repute she must have been in order to need Jesus' saving power in the first place. And that wasn't lost on Mary Magdalene herself, certainly. But she didn't care about any of that. She followed Jesus anyway. And in the end, when things got so intense and scary, and when Jesus' death was looming over everyone, and all of the other disciples fled, she didn't. And she was one of the last people who was still at the foot of the cross with Jesus. And this morning, here she is, first to the tomb. Her heart is so tender and raw, and her love for Jesus is so pure, that she is the perfect person to provide us the model answer to this question. Because she's willing to give an answer to this question to anybody. And she doesn't even know that she's giving this answer to Jesus. She thinks it's just some gardener. The only thing that she's ever desired is what she's looking for now. Just Jesus. The miracle happens when she is the first person to see him, and she becomes the first person to share the story of Jesus' resurrection with the disciples and then with the greater world. A German theologian by the name of Jürgen Moltmann suggests while reading this story that perhaps without women preachers, we would have no knowledge of the resurrection. But then Jesus corrects Mary Magdalene because of all the wonderful things that she has shown, her incredible faith, her pure love for Jesus, there's just one thing that's wrong about her approach in this story, in what she's looking for. She messes up something that a lot of us have trouble with every once in a while. When we know what we're looking for, at least we think we do, but we're looking for it in all the wrong places. Because Jesus corrects her, I'm not here. Don't look for me in this open tomb. Humans are experts at this, at looking for the things that we want, but in the wrong places. Because it's so innate for us to want to be fulfilled by something. To have this sense that there's something that we need that we don't have, and to chase around that elusive something as best as we can to fill our hearts through our careers, through our families, through our educations, through our relationships. And then, if those things can't satisfy us and we still have this unmet need of longing to chase that sense of something more fulfilling through other kinds of indulging that are less healthy. But the only things that will really fill that void, that sense that they'll fill us completely, that will make us feel like we're completely satisfied and like we have everything that we need, are the things that give us life. The things that Jesus came and died for so that we can have. If we search for the living and for life amongst dead things, amongst things that harm and kill, then we'll never be satisfied. So Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, don't look for me here. Stop wandering around in a cemetery looking for a dead man. Get out into the world and go embrace life. And then you will find me among my people. And then you will always find what you're looking for. This is the good news for us this morning, that because Jesus died and rose again, we don't find him among dead things. We find him among living things. And that vitality that we have through Jesus can't be snuffed out by anything. If we want to find all the things that we're looking for, whatever those things are, however we can share those things with Jesus, if we want to find those things, then we find those things through the living and through the life that Jesus gives us, through people that we love who love us back, through people that we serve without any expectation of a reward, through the ways that we share Jesus with other people, like Mary Magdalene did 2,000 years ago, so that other people can also know about that abundant life and celebrate in it too. Because Jesus conquered death, all things are possible. All of the things that we've ever lost and all the things that we've ever looked for can be found, as long as we look for those things, keeping that pure heart of love for Jesus, just like Mary Magdalene did. May it be so. Amen. I invite you to receive this responsive benediction. Christ is risen. Go forth in joy.
From darkness and despair, we go to share Christ's hope and joy.
Christ is risen. Go forth in faith.
From doubt and betrayal, we go to walk in faith and fidelity.
Christ is risen. Go forth to live.
From suffering and death, we go to heal a broken world.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.
this has been What Are You Looking For? With Pastor Natalie Bowerman on April 1st, 2018. Last in a series adapted from the book, Questions God Asks of Us. How did those around Jesus respond following his crucifixion? What are you looking for this day? Natalie responds, uninterrupted sleep, and then goes on to share more personal, serious answers and guidelines to help all of us think this through.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.